I wouldn't say we fell in love right away. I think we were, as they call it in the biz, trauma bonding.
And then after 8 years of being insufferably sober, I started drinking again.
Addicts tend to be rather sensitive people.
Aren't you Marc Maron? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened to you?
Hey, you guys, you're listening to Recover Girl. It's a podcast about addiction and recovery. And today I am going to give you one of the episodes from my live show, Hammered Time. It's a very funny show that takes place every other month here in Los Angeles. Also, what do I want to tell you? I'm really grateful you listened to this show. If you listen and you want to let me know, because right now I am standing in my bedroom with two mics, in my pajamas, dirty bed. I mean, not dirty, not made. We're supposed to be making our beds every morning. That's supposed to give you self-esteem. By the way, I've never really subscribed to that. I have never gotten self-esteem from making my bed. But that reminds me, I do have other happiness hacks. I have tricks for accessing instant joy. And that's because, I don't know about you, but I feel things real deeply. And I don't think it's that I feel any worse or I have felt any worse than anyone else in my life. It's just that I feel things. As my friend says, I just prioritize my feelings so much. Like right now, I'm hearing my phone ring in the background. I'm having all these feelings about who's calling me. Is this distracting? Should I stop this? Anyway, my point is I wrote a cheat sheet. It is my guide to happiness hacks. I started to write this. I was like, I'm going to write a cheat free cheat sheet to give away. Instead, it ended up being this unruly 30-page document. I cut it down. I think it's only 7 of my tricks in there, but they're good tricks. They are for when you are not feeling right and you want to escape it and you have no idea what to do. So go to annadavidcoaching.com and that can be yours. Now, I'm going to introduce the person you're going to hear performing in my live show. She was new to the show. I really loved her. She came recommended by previous regular performer, Bucky Sinister. I'm going to read you a little bit about how she describes herself. Jessica Seeley is a deeply weird human being and stand-up comedian. She's performed at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival, SF Sketch Fest. She was described by Bitch Magazine as a hilarious and talented queer woman. Here she is, Jessica Seeley.
All right. I'm glad to be here tonight because I was at home alone watching Game of Thrones. And I don't know if you guys know that. You can't watch that. It's like way too graphic and dark. It's upsetting. How do you sleep at night? I'm disturbed. So I am 3 years sober. Thank you. Thank you. Oh my gosh, stop it. So I'm sure that there's a lot of you here that I'm superior to because of that. But I'm really glad to be here to tell this story because it's, you know, it's all it's craziness. You know, obviously I drank. Like telling me things when I was drunk, like, Jessica, you know, you should kill yourself now while you're drunk because sober Jessica will never do it. And then, like, luckily its next thought would be like, well, Taco Bell's open. So, it wasn't all bad all the time, you know. Sometimes it worked out for me. Like, one time I came to and I was in the middle of a lesbian orgy and I felt like that was fine. That was a fine place to be. But I'm going to tell this story. It's kind of just it's just one of those weird nights that it has a lot of good twists and turns. You never know what's going to happen. And let me just, set the scene for you a little bit. I'm living in San Francisco. Well, okay, actually, I'm living in Oakland, but in the process of getting kicked out of a lesbian house for dating a man who, in my defense, was self-identified as the fastest drummer in Oakland. So you guys get it, you know, the really fast drumming. Okay. Anyway, so I'm drinking a lot. I'm doing drugs. I'm working at this restaurant with other alcoholics who also happen to work at a restaurant, which happens. But we would go out, and the night would always start very classy, and we'd go to a really fancy bar, and we'd order something really fancy and talk about what in the restaurant it pairs with, as if, you know, we're not going to go in the bathroom and then drink nail polish. So, you guys, just so you know, this story ends up with me alive. So this is one of those nights. I'm going out with my coworkers, and we start having a classy drink, and then I'm just gone, and they're gone. I have no idea where they went. I'm talking to some French doctors, and it's so much better in France, having that conversation at the bar. And then I remember I was, like, totally, you know, hammered. And I sat down with this guy who I was so drunk that he was just a silhouette, like a huge. This was his silhouette, just like no neck, just cartoon of a thug or whatever. And he's like this big guy, and I was like, "Hi, I'm Jessica," and he was like, "Oh, I'm Dennis." His name was Dennis. And I was like, "What do you do?" And then he was like, "I am a debt collector for the mob." And I was like, "Cool, do you like pasta? Because you're Italian?" And then he was like, "Yes, I do. And I know the perfect pasta hangout for us mobsters." I was like, "Oh my God, we're about to go to this like really classy, really underground place." And then so what happens is I say, "Yeah, let's go." So I get in his white cargo van, which, in my defense, he did say free pasta was involved. So I might even just do that now. I don't know. But anyway, so I get in his white cargo van, and then he's like, and then he flashes me his huge wad of cash. And his gun. He's got a little, you know, one. I don't know my guns, but it was one of these. And I just remember thinking, like, you know, I don't usually get to feel this hot, like, that someone would actually show me their gun and their cash. Like, that's like, do you guys know what I mean by that? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. So then. Then he drives me to the pasta place, which is in Fisherman's Wharf. And for those of you that don't know, that's like what neighborhood? There's no.
Square. It's like Times Square.
Fisherman's Wharf? All right. Let's not fight about this right now. It's where the Rainforest Cafe is in the Madame Trousseau, whatever, the wax, yeah. Okay, so touristy, and so not that cool, but then it's like this big empty bar, and it's just like this big restaurant, no one's there, it's 2 a.m., and then there's a bar in the back, and just a bunch of girls sitting at the bar, I guess all the mob girlfriends, and then the bartender, and he's got like a vest and a wax mustache. And I go and I sit down, and Dennis sits me down. I order seafood linguine. And then I guess the reason I can remember all this is because, as I told you, I was drinking really nice alcohol that night. So I'm sitting at the bar, and then Dennis, my mob boyfriend, is like, "Hey, so I got to go like work for a bit, but I'll be right back." So I don't know, you know, and so then I'm sitting at this bar, and then I'm eating my seafood linguine, and everyone's like, "How's it going?" And then I immediately started sobbing, and I was just like, "Not everybody gets pasta. Not everyone in the world gets pasta." And then I start going into these statistics. You know, I'm like, 50% of the world is living in abject poverty. I'm crying. I'm sure I told some statistics that aren't true. But, you know, and then the bartender was like, "I'm sorry, can you stop? You're bumming you're bumming everyone out here. And I was like, you will not silence this truth. You know, so I'm crying and I'm crying. I keep going with that whole, I'm the only one that understands the world and it's suffering. And then Dennis comes back and he's like, oh my God, this is a mess. So then he takes me outside and puts me in a cab to Oakland, which is big money, right? From San Francisco, from Fisherman's Wharf. So then he pays the, you know, the driver this big wad of cash. And I'm like, thanks, Dennis. Let me, you know. And then I was like, do you want my number? he was like, no. So then I'm in this cab and I'm still crying. And I tell the cab driver, like, nobody even understands the poverty. They were all telling me that I was being a bummer, but they don't even know. They just, you know, sit there and eat their pasta like nothing's going on. And then the cab driver looks at me in the rearview mirror and he says, Jessica, you are a genius and you see what other people cannot see. And I was like, yes, yes. And then I started crying about poverty and he's like, only you know the truth. This is in my mind what happened. I think it did mostly though. But so then I started crying about the fastest drummer in Oakland. And I'm like, you know, he drums really fast, but he's cheating on me. And then I had chlamydia and all this stuff. And then he told me this, and I remember this because I wrote it down in the cab. He said, Jessica, love means land of sorrow, ocean of tears, valley of death, end of life. And I was like, yes, I know. So that's actually the end of my story. Land of sorrow, ocean of tears, valley of death, end of life. Jessica Seeley, thank you. I don't know what the moral is to that story, except like I just know that like you never get that kind of experience in an Uber. You know, that's like that's why you got to support the unions. Okay, so I'm actually going to bring up your next performer. Thanks for having me.